So let's open in prayer, ask God to work in our hearts. Father, we love you and appreciate you so much. Lord, I recognize that unless you do a work here, nothing will happen. So I'm asking you to show yourself strong. I need you. And I'm excited about what you're doing in the hearts and lives of women. Thank you so much how you've ministered to my heart through the music, through Brother Moore, and even through the challenges from Brother Harold. Thank you. Lord, I pray that you would speak to us and you would continue to, Father, just shed your love abroad in our hearts. Father, thanks for every good and perfect gift. You daily load us with benefits. And would you exalt the Lord Jesus Christ? Would you do what only you can do? For we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. The scripture in Psalm 130 says this: If thou, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared. And then I love these next two verses. I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning, yea, more than they that watch for the morning. And there's been, this morning and even in some testimonies talking about waiting. And as I was praying and preparing messages and, I said, Lord, what is it? What would you have me to do? And actually, now that you've turned to Psalm 130, we are going to be in Hebrews 10. But it doesn't hurt you to get the exercise. But waiting, if you think about it, is hard. We live in a very instant society, don't we? Instant breakfast, instant coffee, instant credit. It's amazing how you can, whereas growing up I had to go to a library and look up books and things like that, now you can push just a button on Google, and how many are there? 300,000 or however many picks. And I'm thankful that we have this technology, but in many ways technology has become a huge distraction. And for a lot of us, we are so used to things being like this that we expect and in many ways want God to work the same way. And we find ourselves thinking, Lord, why aren't you answering? I mean, I want it now. And we want faster computers. It always amazes me. Last year, I bought a MacBook Pro, for the ministry, and now they've come up with a new one. And then you have iPad this, and there's another iPad. I can't keep up with it. And of course, now that it's obsolete, everybody wants the new one. And you think everything's new, everything's instant. And then when it comes to our walk with God, God often waits. And he waits, and he waits. And I don't know about you, but I'd rather hear yes or no. Please don't tell me to wait. It is very hard to wait, especially when things aren't going the way that I think they should. And this message I titled The Jewel of Waiting on God. I like the term jewel because it implies to me a treasure, something beautiful. And learning to wait on our God, I believe, is an art and something we all need to learn to do. So as we're going to look at Hebrews chapter 10, because there's some powerful scripture here where it says, beginning in verse 35, it says, Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Now there's a lot there, but I see in those verses, and I'm also going to pull from another scripture here, I see several things that God teaches us about learning to wait upon him. And the Bible says, they who wait upon the Lord will never be ashamed. They'll never be disappointed. And it is a wonderful thing to wait for God's answer, for God's timing, rather than trying to take matters into our own hands. And we'll look at a couple examples where people did just that. And I have found in my own life and in working with other ladies that we bring untold grief and heartache into our lives because of our unwillingness to wait God's timing. And we want to control. We learned that yesterday. We want to manipulate. We want to make things happen, especially if you've got a personality like mine, which is choleric, and you want to get it done, get it done, get it done. And I mean, let's do it now. I'm very time conscious. I grew up in a home where my father, if you were 15 minutes early, you were on time. And God has blessed me with two children who have no concept of time. For my Sarah and even for Rebecca, it's okay, Mom. It's not okay. Well, Mom, it's okay if we're 5 minutes late. And you know, I often think whatever rewards I may have earned, I have burned up with regards to learning to wait. And we're going through the master's program. I thought to myself, whatever rewards I have earned, and I didn't believe at that point I even earned anything before the Lord. I says, I burned up going through this master's program, just trying to learn to wait upon the Lord. And so I want us to ask the question, how do we learn to wait patiently upon our Lord? And I think first and foremost, we're going to find an answer in Psalm 62, one of my favorites, and verse 5. And the scripture says, my soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. That word only there carries the idea of silence. Silence and trust that is completely yielded, and it is trust that is patient and uncomplaining. So first and foremost, we must learn to wait silently only upon our God. For our expectation must be from him. He only, the scripture says, is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. And I think we would all agree, when do we get bent out of shape? When do we struggle? When our expectations aren't met. Is that true? How many of you, if you're honest, don't raise your hand, have had expectations that have been unmet? I think all of us. That's hard, isn't it? I mean, how many times have you said this, but I thought that if I did this, this would happen. I thought that if I prayed, this would happen. I thought. Those words get us into trouble. Why? Because our expectation is upon what we think should happen, what we think is best. And the scripture says, wait silently, wait only upon God, for my expectation is from him. Not from people. Not that the circumstance will turn out a certain way. Ladies, you know, something I have learned is that I have to not be more anxious for the hour of delivery than I am for what God wants to teach me. And oftentimes, we learn things in the school of waiting we will never learn in the school of instant things. A.W. Tozier, in his book, That Incredible Christian, and I'm going to do just a brief here, very, very brief. I love A.W. Tozier. If you were to ask me who my favorite author is, it would be A.W. Tozier. I love his material, and I believe, Brother Harold, they have a lot of books by Tozier. That man pants and hungers for God. He's with the Lord. He died in 1963. But he talks about the inadequacy of this instant idea, this instant Christianity. And ladies, God teaches us things in the school of waiting when those prayers are not answered and when things don't go the way we think they should that we'll never learn any other way. And it reveals us. And what happens when we have to wait oftentimes is we start to resist. We start to kick. And we start to say, well, Lord, you're not answering, you're not answering, you're not answering. Therefore, I need to help God out. Let me give you a classic example. Sarah in the Old Testament. Now, she had to wait 25 years for that child. And that's a long time when you're 65 years old when the promise is made. And you're going to be 90 when you have a baby. Personally, cannot fathom that. Anybody else can fathom that? 90 years old? No wonder the scripture says she received strength. But she was promised, but after 13 years, she says this to her husband, the Lord hath restrained me from bearing, and now she takes matters into her own hands, and in comes the Hagar scenario. Now you tell me, ladies, was that a blessing or was that a burden? Did that bring heartache? Are we still living with some of the consequences of that, of her choice? And by the way, Abraham didn't exercise his leadership. He didn't say to his wife, you know, God has promised us a child. But Sarah takes matters into her own hands, and then she gets upset because Hagar then despises her because she can have a baby. And now we have friction, and what happens? I mean, here Sarah says, cast out the bondwoman. Thankfully, again, we see God intervenes. And he does deliver Hagar, and he does look after her and Ishmael. But ladies, such heartache because she was unwilling to wait. I think of Rebecca in the Old Testament and how she had been promised that Jacob, the elder, would serve the younger and Jacob would get the blessing. But instead of waiting God's timing, she panicked. She panicked when she heard that her husband Isaac was going to bless Esau. And instead of, you know, even praying or going to Isaac, she takes matters into her own hands, has her son, and says, I want you to deceive your father, your curse be upon me. And we have that scenario. And what happens? Well, Esau hates his brother, and Jacob will never see his mother again. A lot of heartache. And Jacob the deceiver will become Jacob the deceived. Ladies, we must learn to wait God's timing. Now that's hard, because as we look at Romans 8, we're going to be back and forth between Hebrews 10 and Romans 8. We see some principles here that have been a real help to me in this process of learning to wait. And learning to wait God's timing, even in my own life, for so many things. For God to work in my life and in my children's lives and in those that I'm praying for. And in Romans chapter 8 and verse 20, it says, the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but we ourselves also groan, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. In other words, right now we're in fallen bodies. If you need a reminder of that, just get up every morning. And you'll know that you're in a fallen, sinful body. And we want change. We want those new bodies that are sin-free and that will never have to disappoint our Savior again. And we want things to change. But the timing is not right now. The Bible tells us the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation of souls. And therefore, you know, God's timing is perfect. It's not now that we will be delivered in that sense. So we wait. But it's hard. It's the picture that the apostle gives us of groaning in labor. And again, if you're a mother, you understand this. Because when you are in travail and groaning, I don't know about you, but there comes a point where you think, all I want is get this child out. And, you know, again, as you're waiting and going through that, and if labor isn't progressing the way that you think it should, and you're looking at the doctor. I remember my doctor, I kid you not, when I was in labor with my son, he literally took me to his face and he says, you have got to calm down. I was ballistic. And he looked at me and he said, breathe. Later on, I remember I looked at my husband and he had this huge gash. And I said, Jeff, what happened? He says, you don't remember. I said, no. He says, you gouged me. I said, I did? He says, you are never going to labor with nails again. You know, why? I just, all I could think of was deliverance, 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 deliverance. Get the baby out. I don't care what you do. Whatever pills you have, whatever shots you have, I'll take it, I'll take it. I wanted deliverance. But I needed to wait because babies come on their own timing. And you can rush it all you want. And I can, you know, I look at that and I lost all perspective because I just wanted to give birth and I just wanted the baby out. And Paul here, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is saying that the creation groans and we groan. We want the adoption and we become anxious, but the timing isn't right. And so we must wait. We must wait upon the Lord. Yes, it's hard. Yes, it's painful because we're under the curse. But ladies, you're not going to speed up the process. All your manipulation, all your control is not going to do anything but cause heartache. and grief. God doesn't need your help in that respect. Well, I got to help God out. You know, I've got to bring this in, and I've got to do this, and I've got to make this happen. Ladies, God's timing is not our timing. God's ways are not our ways. Learn to wait silently, patiently, and without complaint. But secondly, as we look again at Hebrews 10, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. I see we are to wait confidently. You know, in Romans 8 it says that the creation was subjected to vanity, but not with futility. It was in hope. We have a God of hope. Isn't that awesome? You know, the world, unsaved and saved people alike go through difficulty. The difference is the lost have no hope apart from Christ, which is again why we are to be sharing with them the hope of the gospel. But we are to wait confidently. What does the Bible say? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The substance, the assurance, the conviction of things not seen. And ladies, so often when we don't see anything happening, what happens? You lose confidence. Is that true? You see nothing happening. As a matter of fact, what you do see happening isn't promising. It's getting worse. And we start to lose confidence. That's why the scripture tells us in 2 Corinthians 4, verses 15 through 18, that all things are for your sakes. You say, not this. Yes, this. All things are for your sakes. Why? That the abundant grace, and it is abundant, might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not. We don't lose hope. We don't lose heart. For though our outward man perishes, yet our inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, you say it's not light. In the scope of eternity, it is. Which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. We have to learn to wait confidently. I think of the book of Esther. At one point, it was pretty hopeless, wasn't it? You can think of where Haman had had the king, King Xerxes, do this decree. Well, every single Jew was to be wiped out, no exceptions. There was wailing, there was weeping. I mean, it was a horrible time. And from a human perspective, it was pretty hopeless. Would you agree? But God had a plan with one woman who, by the way, was an orphan. God uses the weak things of the world to confound the wise. The things which are weak, the despised, to bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. God uses a young lady named Esther, and he's going to use her to influence the king to deliver his very people. But at one point, it looked pretty hopeless. I love what George Mueller says, and this has often been a challenge to me. He says, young faith looks for a sign, a token, or a feeling. And he says, growing faith looks only to God and believes his promises when things are going well. Mueller says, great faith looks only to God, and believes his promises when prayer is unanswered and all circumstances seem to the contrary. And boy, I'll tell you, I think, oh Lord, I need that. Because so often we can lose confidence. And ladies, again, if you look back at Romans 8, it's interesting. The scripture says in verse 24, for we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? You can see it. But if we hope for what we see not, then do we with patience, there it is, wait for it. We wait for it confidently. Why? Because we choose to believe in God who cannot fail. He cannot fail. Ladies, don't lose confidence in God. Wait silently. Wait confidently. You know, I wrote this down to myself. Am I more concerned that God change the circumstance and the person, or that he accomplish his will in me and change me? In my women counseling women class, I asked the young ladies who were in that class, I says, whom do we counsel? You know, do you just counsel anyone who comes to you? And it says, the goal is, as you're working with these ladies, and for the sake of time, I'm not going to go into all the things we talk about, but I says, there's three questions that I have found helpful to do as you're working with individuals over time. And they are these. I says, when you're working with ladies, ask them these three questions. And again, you have to pray and ask God's timing on this, but those three questions, and you need to ask these to yourself, do I really want God's best? Do I want God's best? Secondly, am I committed to obey God regardless of what the cost is? Am I committed to complete obedience no matter what the cost? And for me, oftentimes, that's meant that I have had to go back to individuals that I have offended or hurt and ask their forgiveness. That has meant that I have had to clear my conscience for the times that I have failed miserably, and there are buckets of them. Even though the cost was high. And the third is, am I most concerned that God be glorified and accomplish his purpose in and through my life, or do I just want relief from the problem? Because if all I want is relief from the problem, then really, we can't help them. Because they're really not interested in change, they just want the quick fix. And so we must learn to wait confidently. Don't lose confidence in God. How you respond when people or circumstances are not changing is a real revealer of your heart. How you respond when people and circumstances are not changing the way you think they should is a real revealer of your heart. But thirdly, verse 36 of Hebrews chapter 10, ye have need of patience that after ye have done the will of God, I must wait silently, I must wait confidently, I must wait obediently. After ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. And ladies, I appreciate what Brother Harold said. This is an act of the will. Honestly, so often I hear this, I don't feel like it, and therefore since I don't feel like it, then obviously I shouldn't do it because I don't have the desire. Ladies, again, you have to engage your will. Look how often you see in the scripture, I will trust in God, I will set my hope in God, I will choose to obey. Over and over and over again, you see where the psalmist and individuals engage their will. I will do what God has told me to do. Ladies, don't quit. Keep on doing what is right. Elizabeth Elliot has a statement that I've often said to myself, do the next thing. Do the next thing. What has God told me to do? He has told me to keep on walking, to be faithful, to wait, to not quit. Even when everything in me is screaming, I want to quit. I can remember, I'm a football fan. I grew up with a father who loved football. He didn't have sons, so his daughters were going to learn to love football. And I loved football. We would watch football, I mean, on Sundays. We didn't know the Lord. I wasn't saved. And I got into that game. I'm still into the game. I know Rebecca looks at me, and she says, Mom, I'm sitting here watching the football game. Packers won. And... And she's, I'm saying, go, go, go. And she's like, Mom, they can't hear you. I said, I got to help them anyways. Yeah, I mean, I enjoy it. I get into it and I watch it. And I remember somebody had given us to watch a DVD, and it's a Christian DVD. I mean, you know, it's called Facing the Giants. I don't know if any of you have heard of it, but I love football, so I was watching this. And I remember at one point, this guy has to go and do what they call the death crawl, and he has to get down on his knees, and he has to crawl, and he's got a 160-pound man on him, and he's walking. And of course, the coach blindfolds him because he doesn't want him to see what he's doing. He wants him to go and give his best. And I'll tell you, as I was watching that, and I can identify with football, and he's sitting here, and he's going, and he's starting to, and the coach gets down, you know, right in front of him and says, give me your best, give me your best, give me your best. Don't quit, don't quit, don't quit, don't quit. And here's this guy, it hurts, it hurts, it hurts. You know, and I mean, he just keeps on going, oh, and you know, I can't go. He says, give me your best, give me your best, give me your best. And finally, when this young man collapses, who thought he could go 20 yards. The coach takes off the blindfolds and says, "You're in the end zone." And he says to this young man, he says, "You have great influence on this team." He says, if you don't, show forth the confidence and that you can do it, he says, the whole team loses interest. And I remember I brought Rebecca in because I was really struggling at that point. At that point, I said, "Lord, I just don't think I can do this anymore." And I was really struggling. And of all things, God used that as I was watching. And I brought Rebecca in and sat her down. And she was watching this. And the tears started to come. And I said, "We won't quit. We won't quit. We will obey. We will keep doing what is right. We will keep doing and honoring the Lord, whatever it takes. And can I say this? We aren't going to take matters into our own hands. We aren't going to try and fix this our way." I have an experiment that I used to do. I'm a science teacher, chemistry teacher. And I had one that I had the students watch. It's called an iodine clock reaction. And I would mix these vials together. No, I didn't blow anything up. They always wanted me to do that. "Will you blow something up, Mrs. Trahan?" "No, we're not going to blow anything up." And I've mixed these different vials together, and I said, "Now you need to watch." And they'd stare at it. "Nothing's happening. Mrs. Trahan, nothing's happening." I says, "Keep your eyes peeled." And after several minutes, all of a sudden, before their eyes, boom, it was just gorgeous blue color. And they're like, "Whoa!" And I said, "Now, you just saw the end result. Let me ask you a question. Were there things going on all of this time?" They said, "Yeah, I'm sure there were." I says, "Yeah, there are all kinds of reactions going on in this vial." I says, "Did you see anything happening?" "No." "Does that mean anything wasn't happening?" "No." I says, "Remember this, God is always working. And God is always doing 1,000 or more different things that you can't even see or perceive. There is always a bigger picture. The problem is we live with what I call a mini-story mentality. We live with the idea of my agenda, my rights, and we forget that there is a much bigger picture involved. And that picture is, number one, the glory of God. Isaiah 43:7, "All things have I created for my glory." And secondly, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. There is always a much bigger picture that you cannot see. And when we get caught up in our mini story and it's all about us, we forget that there are things God is doing that we can't see. And so God simply asks us, keep obeying. After you have done the will of God, you have need of patience. The Bible says in Romans 5, we glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation works patience, patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed and brought in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Ladies, don't stop doing what is right. You know, as Brother Harold said, keep the discipline. Can I say this? People say, "Well, do you always feel like praying?" No. There are days I don't feel like going in and teaching. There are days I don't feel like being a mother or fixing a meal. There are days I don't feel like doing a lot of things. If I operated on feelings, a lot wouldn't get done. Is that true? How many of you, if you only worked when you felt like it, or were taking care of your husbands and your family when you felt like it, you tell me, how well would your home be running? You've got to do what is right and learn to live obediently, because obedience proves the sincerity of your love, and the feelings will follow. Right thinking, right feelings, right actions, but oftentimes it's right thinking and right actions, and then the feelings follow. But you still have to do what is right. I love James 1:12 says this, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, perseveres under trial. For when he is tried, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." I say, why does it say to them that love him? Because when we endure, when we don't quit, it proves the sincerity of our love. John 14:15 says, "If you love me," what? "Keep my commandments." If you read down further, it says, "If any man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him. We will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him." Do you see how many times we're saying love? I will love him and will manifest, reveal myself to him. Ladies, sometimes we say, I can't experience the presence of God. Are you obeying? If I am not obeying God, I am a deceived person when I say, I love you, Lord, but I'm not willing to obey. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Ladies, if we love him, we will obey. Walk obediently after you have done the will of God. And finally, wait expectantly. Wait expectantly. Wait silently. Wait only upon our God. For our expectation is from him. I wait confidently. Why? Because my confidence is in the King of Kings and Lord of Lords who does all things perfectly. You know, our confidence in ourselves. I don't know if you ever watched The Sound of Music, but can I say this? You can sing, I have confidence in confidence alone. It won't help you. It's not going to help you. But confidence in Christ, confidence in his purposes and in his ways cannot fail. Cannot fail. And we wait obediently, we wait expectantly. After ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. Verse 35, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. Again, back to Romans chapter 8. How do I wait expectantly? How do I wait expectantly? Well, I see several things here. I understand, embrace my hope in God. My hope in God. How do I wait expectantly? I love these verses, Romans 8, verses 16 and 17. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. In other words, the hope that I have in my Lord is amazing. I am a joint heir with Christ. I embrace my hope in God, the God of hope. Look at Romans 15. Romans 15. And again, some precious promises here, and I hope that you love these promises. I love this. Again, you look at verse 4. Whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have what? Hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Jesus Christ, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's the God of hope. He's the God of patience and consolation. But also in verses 26 and 27 of Romans 8, I embrace the Spirit's intercession. I love these verses. When I'm waiting, and it's not getting better, it's getting worse. And when I'm scared to death when the phone rings because I don't know what's going to be on the other end. I can remember for days, for those 2 months when my son was missing and on the run. I didn't want to answer the phone. So I did the message yesterday on fear. I was becoming controlled by fear. Because every time the phone rang, every time there was a knock on the door, and I would sit here and I would think, oh no, what are they going to tell me? My boy's gone? I mean, I literally was living in fear and I was frightened and I sometimes didn't even know what to pray. And I remember the one day that I went out with Rebecca and we had gone to Green Bay for the day and I got home and there's a note on my door. My neighbor across the way, Chris Lincoln, she says, I need to talk to you. She says, the sheriff was here again today. Oh boy. And I remember I called the sheriff's office and they said, you need to call this number. And I mean, it was back and forth and back and forth. And my stomach, my heart, I mean, you know the feeling, ladies? You know what I'm talking about? And I was agonizing and crying. And it's at that point, I remember thinking, I don't even know what to pray. You ever been there? I didn't even know what to pray. I didn't know what else to say. I said, Lord, I have been begging you. I've been asking you. I am trusting you. I don't even know what to think anymore. And it was at that point that I remembered, you know what? The Spirit is praying for me. And Jesus is interceding for me. And I can remember years earlier when the Lord brought to mind his faithfulness, and when I was just, I couldn't even pray, I said, Lord, help. And God brought to mind the scripture, Satan hath desired to have you, speaking to Peter, that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. I thought, the Lord Jesus Christ is praying. And in verse 26 and 27 of Romans 8, it says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. Those are your weaknesses. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Can I say this? I live there so often. I don't even know what to pray. You know, recently I've had just two things in the last week before I came here. And the 4 days before, I get the news that one of my friends I've known for 16 years, she actually is my hairdresser, that her husband had died very unexpectedly. They were just about to celebrate and go to Florida for their 20th wedding anniversary. He went on a business trip. He wasn't feeling well on a Tuesday night. The next morning he didn't show up, and they went into the room and found him. He was gone. And they came here, his boss came to her place of work as she's doing somebody's hair and tells this precious woman that her husband is gone. And she has a 15-year-old and a 13-year-old. And my heart just sunk and I thought, oh God, I know what she feels like. It wasn't just a couple of days or a few days later that my phone rings and it's one of our students who's a graduate. And she says, Mrs. Trahan, my father died this morning. She just turned 30. Her mother died just a few years earlier. She says, I'm without parents. And I said, you come over. Come on. She came over and sat down. We hugged her. Becca hugged her. And she just was sharing. And she says, you know, my mom died. And she says, it was those years ago on this day that my mother died. And she says, now my dad is gone. But she again, she says, you know, she says, God's been doing so much and working in my heart. She says, you know, I know he's been working on getting me to the next grade. She says, I think I'm just about ready to graduate. And as she was saying that, and I mean, she didn't even know what to pray. Because we are human, we do have emotions, and I'm aching with her. You imagine being just 30 years old, and she has a brother who's on the island of Guam, and she has a sister, and that's just the three of them. There's no parents now. And she didn't know what to pray. It's those times that we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Those are the groanings that the Spirit of God is interceding on our behalf according to the will of God. And ladies, that is precious. That the Spirit of God would pray for us. And sometimes I look and I think, you know, the only reason I'm in the ministry is because the utter faithfulness of God and the prayers of God's people. I have people come to me all the time and say, I'm praying for you. I think, I am so humbled by that. That people would pray. And sometimes, well, all I can do is, that you know, I can just pray for you. Excuse me? That's your greatest work. That's your greatest work because prayer engages the Almighty God. And when people pray for you, it's such a precious privilege. But when the Holy Spirit prays, wow. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. You know, sometimes I fumble my prayers. I don't know what God's will is, but the Spirit does. And the Spirit takes all of my frailties and weaknesses and prays. You know, I almost can picture it. You know, this is what she means. You know, this is what she means. It's like sometimes a mother, the baby is crying and everybody's trying to figure it out, but the mother has a sense in her heart. This is what the baby needs. He prays. And so how do we wait expectantly? We embrace our hope. We embrace the Spirit's intercession. And in verse 28, we embrace God's promise. What is his promise? We know. And it says we know that all things. How many things, ladies?
All.
Work together for what?
Good.
To them that love God, to them who are the called according to whose purpose?
Yes.
Okay. What's God's promise? Every single thing God will work for good. You say, not this. God can't take this horrible sin and work it for good. Well, sin is wicked. But the amazing thing about our God is he can take anything and work it for good. Because he is God. And can I say this? We need to remember something. He is God. We are not. He calls the shots. We don't. I embrace his promise, and I embrace his purpose. What is his purpose? Verse 29, whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. We talked about this last night, to be conformed to the image of his son. Ladies, and I say this very, very lovingly, ultimately, it's not about deliverance and getting our way. It's that we be more like Jesus. The waiting, you know, oh, yes, Lord, I want you to do this and this and this and this because it'll just make me so happy. That's not the goal. The goal is that we would be more like Jesus. As I was praying in the sweet hour of prayer this morning and dialoguing and doing some singing, not loud, I was being good. And, you know, I was just singing to the Lord, and as I was praying to him, and I was praying for my boy, and I pray for all of my children. And I said, Lord, I said, would you so work in my boy's heart that all may know that you are God in heaven above and on the earth below, that you are a father, a helper, a defender, and a mighty redeemer of the fatherless. Lord, although it means so much to me, and it would mean a great deal for him to be saved, and I'm not going to diminish that, but over and above all, I want to pray as Hezekiah did, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you are God and you alone. Conformity to Christ, that when others see you, as we talked about last night, they would smell the fragrance of Christ. I'm a candle person. If you come into my home, I'm a candle freak. I mean, I have so many candles burning, and I have reed diffusers, and I have plug-ins, and you say, why? Because I love good smells. And, I mean, people who come in to the end of the apartment, they're coming in the door, and they say, we can smell it from down here. And Becca goes to school, and they says, Becca, what do you smell like? A candle. You know, why? Because I love sweet smells because it reminds me so often, you know, just as the fragrance of Christ, I think I want the fragrance, lovely fragrance to come from my home. But more than all of that, and I enjoy my candles and enjoy all those things, I want the fragrance of Christ. And I say, Lord, I want to learn to wait upon you and for your ways and your timing so that the fragrance of Christ would be evident to others. And embrace your privilege. Embrace his love. How do we wait expectantly? Embrace his hope. Embrace the Spirit's intercession. Embrace God's promise, his purpose, and his privilege. And as we end, I want us to ponder these precious words. What shall we then say, verses 31 through 39, to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give all things? Who shall lay anything against the charge of God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemneth? And he all goes all the way down. We are more than conquerors, not copers, by the way.
Well, while you're waiting, just learn to cope. Just survive.
Ladies, let's not just survive, let's thrive. Let's embrace what God is doing, accept it, and withstand tenaciously and recognize we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, I think that list encompasses just about everything, don't you? And so when I think about that, I'm brought back to the promises, cast not away your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. Ladies, learn to wait silently. Learn to wait confidently, learn to wait obediently, and learn to wait expectantly. And as Psalm 27 teaches us, don't fret, trust in him, delight in him, commit all to him, rest in him, wait upon him. You'll never be disappointed. How are we doing? Are we waiting? Or are you saying, I want it now, I want it now, I want it now? God's ways are not our ways. God's timing is not our timing. One final verse, turn to Genesis 21 as we conclude. Genesis 21. Let's read this verse. And this is what I believe we have to remember. Genesis 21 and verse 1. And the Lord visited Sarah, notice this, as he had said. And the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. So Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age, notice, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. Was that Sarah's timing? It was 25 years. For Joseph to finally see his family, it was over 20 years. 13 until he was delivered. Remember that. What God says he will do in his time, not ours. I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in his word